care
you
about
speak
us through us.
Can
so
the
Father,
kids
we
be
welcome
dismissed
you.
To Children's
Jesus,
Church
we
this
welcome
morning.
You.
Holy
kids are dismissed. And it just seems quiet here this morning. I think maybe people were trying to get in their last hurrah of the summer. But we've been in this series called Living with Margins for what seems like the whole summer. I don't have a count, but it seems like it's been the whole summer. In the seat pocket in front of you, we have the sermon notes, so if you'd like to follow along. But we've been talking about things that I think are pretty important. Making choices about what really matters in life. You don't have an infinite amount of time or an infinite amount of resource. And so, you know, figuring out what really matters in life is an important step. Finding ways to be more productive. The idea of running with a tank that's not empty. I don't know about anybody here, but that's important to me. My tank runs empty, and I keep running, and that's not always good. Just a little life lesson I learned recently. I'm kind of an exercise fanatic, and I found something out. If I take a couple days off, I'm actually better, you know, because you're running on empty. You're pushing yourself too hard. You can't do that physically. You can't do it spiritually or emotionally. I believe last week, James talked about pacing yourself, when to move fast and when to move slow. And I can't remember, somebody told me about the message, and I was very pleased with that. And again, I was thankful that James could do that. But I understand that the way he finished the service was he finished a little early, and he told you all that you could now practice waiting. And I thought, perfect. Perfect. Did you all practice waiting, or did you just laugh at him? You all laughed at him. Okay. Well, too bad, because I decided I'm going to pick up where James left off, and I'm going to talk about waiting, because I really do believe that we need to learn how to wait. Anybody like waiting, by the way? Anybody good at waiting? Anybody? You remember we were a kid? Oh, maybe you don't remember, but I remember when I was a kid that you would be eating your breakfast, and on the back of the breakfast, there was a special offer, all right? And if you had 6 box tops and 50 cents, and you would tape the 2 quarters to the little form that they had, it was a little cardboard, you cut it out of the back of the box, fill out the form, tape your 2 quarters to it, and then you needed 6 box tops, which meant you had to buy 6 more boxes of cereal. And what you tried to do is get your parents to buy those 6 all at once so you could cut, you know, take the box tops off and put them in the envelope. My mom never did that. I'm just saying. So there was a whole lot of waiting that went on. Now, did anybody love that experience? You know, you were sending away, all right? No, you were going crazy. And anyway, and then when you got whatever it was they sent, all right, am I the only one who ever did this? I'm looking around. I remember I was going to get this little gun thing that would shoot spears across the room. In my mind, it was this big, all right? When I got it, it was this big. And so I was thinking, none of us really like to wait. And so I thought I would give you a little definition of waiting that'll make you even more irritated with me this morning. See, waiting is the action of staying where one is or delaying action until a particular time or until something else happens. And I saw those two words, staying and delaying. And I thought, we don't like staying. We don't like delaying. We like to move. Am I speaking to anybody here this morning? All right. We don't like to stay. We don't like to delay. We like to move on. You know, the truth is about your life is you're going to spend a lot of time waiting. You really are. You know what? The first 9 months of your life, you were waiting. You weren't going anywhere. All right, you may not have been conscious of waiting, but I'll bet your mom was. All right, most of you couldn't wait for Christmas morning. All right? Some of us still can't wait for Christmas morning. Right now, some parents can't wait for school to start. And you know what? I know this from experience. Some of the kids in this room are going to start their countdown calendar on Wednesday. Isn't Wednesday when school starts? Thursday. That's when they're going to start their countdown calendar. And I'm not seeing any teachers here this morning, but I imagine teachers might do the same thing. They might have a countdown calendar. Did you guys have anybody do that, have a countdown calendar from the first day of school? I'm the only one who did that. Oh, wow. All right, but we wait for stuff. Some of you can't wait to grow up. Kids are like that. They can't wait to grow up. Guess what? Bad move. Enjoy being a kid. It's probably the best part of life is being a kid, except for me, because I'm married to Carol now. This is the best part of my life. All right. Some people can't wait to retire. I actually had a neighbor who, from the time he was like 58 years old, all he ever talked about was retiring. I'm a little older than 58 years old. I have no idea what I'm going to do with I'm retiring. So I don't look forward to that one yet. But there's this whole idea that in life we're going to do a lot of waiting. And I've shared this before, but Albert Einstein once said, the reason God gave us time is so that everything wouldn't happen at once. In life, you're going to wait. All right? In life, you're going to wait. And so a couple questions, and I like to ask questions when I think of subjects like this. Why does God make us wait? You know, he really did. He designed your life so that there was going to be a lot of waiting. If God had the ability to create the entire universe in 6 days, why do you have to wait weeks for an appointment with your doctor, or months to get a new job, or a year until Stranger Things comes out again? And anybody? See, I knew somebody was watching that. All right. So why do we have to wait? And here's the worst part. Why do we have to wait decades for better kids? You know, that's a good one too. But if God can do things immediately, why do we have to wait for the answer to prayers? Have you ever thought about that? That you pray for something, and then you have to wait for the answer. I've had two experiences in my life, and they are the only two I can think of, where I prayed for something, or something was prayed for, and there was an immediate answer. One time we were driving our van down an icy road, and the car, we lost control, and we were heading off the edge of the road, you know, down a 5-foot embankment. It wasn't going to be good. And so we're sliding along on this road, and Carol yelled out at the top of her lungs, "Jesus, stop." And it was as if an angel just grabbed a hold of that van, because from sliding and doing all this to immediate, abrupt, like we didn't stop and skid 30 feet, we just stopped on the dime. And I thought, wow, what was that? And I was thinking that was the immediate answer to prayer. And I really don't talk about this much, but it's like 27 years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer, and I went to church, and some guy prayed for me, and I went back to the doctor, and they couldn't find it. It disappeared, and they had no medical reason for it. And I remember, I even asked the doctor, I even said, "What really happened?" And he goes, "Man, you had a miracle." He goes, "It's not the first one I've ever seen. It's probably not the last. Just go on, enjoy your life." And that was that. And yet, I know other people who, and myself, there are other prayers. I've prayed for a lot of things, and the answers don't come real quickly. There's a time between when you make the request and when the answer comes. And I know people that, you know, a lot of people have medical problems, and they ask God for healing, then it takes a long time for the answer to come. And it doesn't always come the way, for me, it was like, basically, God healed me, and that was it. But for other people, they have to go through treatments and things. And I think to myself, why does God make us wait? Why does God make us wait? And I'm going to tell you that one of the reasons that God makes us wait is because waiting has an important spiritual purpose in your life. Waiting is a tool that God uses to help you grow and become the person that God wants you to be. So whether we enjoy it or not, and most of us don't enjoy waiting, waiting is good for us. So let me talk about some reasons we must wait. And so here's the first one this morning. We're going to talk about reasons, and then I'm going to talk about how we must learn to wait. And the first one is this: waiting renews our strength. There's a kind of strength that God wants you to have. There's a kind of strength. It's a strength of perseverance. It's the kind of strength that enables you to keep on keeping on. And does anybody know that phrase, keep on keeping on? It's this, this thing of, you know, in spite of circumstances, I'm going to continue to move forward. All right? It's that kind of strength in your life, because life isn't perfect. All right? Life down here on planet Earth isn't perfect. We're going to have problems. We're going to have trials. We're going to have difficulties. If life was perfect, you know where you'd be? You'd be in heaven. But this isn't heaven. This is Earth. And on Earth, we have trouble. Jesus said, in the world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I overcame the world. And so there's this idea that we need a source of strength, emotional strength, spiritual strength, that enables us to keep going on. And waiting, believe it or not, waiting is one of the ways that God uses to fill our tank. The Bible says this: but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I want you to highlight the word wait there, because sometimes people imagine that waiting is like being at the doctor's office in a waiting room trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do. I'm not doing anything right now. But that's not what this word waiting means. In the Old Testament of the Bible, and that's where this is from, the word wait and the word hope are the same word. And so substitute those two words. And in fact, different translations of the Bible say, but they that wait upon the Lord, and some others say, those who hope in the Lord. And it's this idea of having a confident expectancy about life. It's a confident expectancy about life. It's the idea that God is here. God is with me. God is helping me. And so this waiting isn't the passive waiting with nothing to do. It's kind of an active waiting that I don't have what I need yet, but I know God heard me. I know the answer is on the way. I just don't have it yet. Any of you have kids, and kids never understand the difference between no and not yet, all right? You tell them not yet, they imagine no. Well, you know what? As adults, we may have to learn that same lesson. Not yet doesn't mean no. It means not yet. It means not now. It means you have to go through certain things. And so it's this idea that those that wait, when they wait confidently with expectancy that God's got this under control. It's a way of filling up your tank, strengthening you. And I love this phrase, mount up with wings like eagles. It's kind of a poetic phrase. Eagles remain strong well into old age. Can I get a hallelujah from somebody in the church? Eagles remain strong well into old age. I love this idea. All right? But here's the other thing. Eagles molt about once a year, and they get a whole new set of feathers, all right? And what happens is, when the new feathers come on, they look young again. So if you see an old bird with new feathers, all right, it's just like, wow, that's a young bird. No, it's not, and that's a strong bird, and I like this picture in my head. The picture in my head is, I'm like getting old, but I'm not going to look so bad, and I'm still going to be strong. I'm not an eagle, so you're going to have to put up with these color wings up here. But it's the idea of being strong well into your old age. And so this idea of waiting, though, waiting with hope, waiting with expectancy, learning to trust the Lord, fills up your tank again. Now, there is one thing about waiting, though, is waiting sometimes means you've got to pause. You've got to slow down. You can't move forward until something else happens. Do you understand what I'm saying here? So there's this idea that sometimes the waiting means I have to slow down. And maybe you paid attention to James last week, but I was thinking to myself, we're not supposed to keep going all the time. There are times in our life where we're supposed to slow down. You're not the ever-ready husband. You're not the... I was thinking about the ever-ready bunny. You know, he keeps going and going. But you're not the ever-ready wife, the husband. You're not the ever-ready parent. You're not the ever-ready Christian. A lot of us would like to think we are, but sometimes we have to slow down because we're not supposed to keep going all the time. We're made to take times of waiting in our lives, and God uses those to recharge our energy and to renew our tank. Let me give you another one here, because it's really closely connected with this. Waiting develops trust. I talked about control freaks a couple weeks ago, and I'm not going to ask that question again because I got ugly looks from some people about that. But there are people that are control freaks, right? You got to control everything in your life. You got to and sometimes you got to control everybody in your life. And you know what the problem with that control freaks are really dealing with is they find it hard to trust. They have to control everything because they don't trust other people to do their part. And you know what? Ultimately, if you're really a control person, we have to control all the details and everything else. In some ways, it's kind of like, I don't even trust God. I know he's watching me. I know he sees everything, but I got to take care of my space because he might miss something. Have you ever heard me say, God never says this one word, oops. God never says oops. All right? There's never anything that he misses. And so there's this idea that when we're going through life, one of the things we have to develop is trust. And one of the ways God develops trust is to make us wait. The Bible says God has given them the desire to know the future. He does everything just right and on time. But people can never completely understand what he is doing. If you're a control person, a control freak, you think you always have to be in control. You got one problem. You don't know everything that you need to know. I was thinking about this idea of puzzles. Anybody here like puzzles? I've talked about puzzles before. The way we do puzzles, everybody does it the same way. Take the puzzle out of the box, dump the pieces on the table, put the box cover where you can see it so you can see all the colors. You go about however you do it, but ultimately it comes down to picking up a piece, looking at the piece, looking at the picture, saying the piece goes right here. And so it's got shape and color, and so you say the piece goes right here. But here's the thing with making a puzzle. You know what the finished picture is going to look like, right? Your life is kind of like a puzzle. It's got a lot of pieces. Today is a piece in your puzzle. Two things. Number one, you don't see the bigger picture. So you don't know how today's piece fits into the bigger picture. Do you know who does? God does. He understands the piece of the puzzle that is today. He understands why you're waiting. He knows what the obstacle is. He knows what the event is. He knows what the delay is. He sees the bigger picture. You don't see that picture. And that's what he's talking about here. He said people always want to know the future, right? But they can't get a complete understanding of what God is doing. But you have to circle this other phrase. He does everything just right and on time. If you're a control person, guess what? That is a problem for you. Because you want God to answer all your questions. You want him to, so how does this fit in? What is the shape of my picture? Where does it go? Is it in the middle? Is it here in a corner? Where does this picture, this piece go? And God says, that's for me to know. I want you to trust me. I'm going to just tell you, in your life, and I've had this experience recently myself, all of my problems, all of my failings, are all based on whether or not I really trust him or not. Do I trust him with my business? Do I trust him with my career? Do I trust him with my finances? Do I trust him with my relationships? Do I really trust him or not? You see, sometimes things don't look the way they should. You know what happens? We can trust him and let him put the pieces into place, because that's really, we don't put the pieces into place, he does. Or we can get tired of waiting and we can force a piece into a place that it doesn't belong. Have you ever done that with a puzzle piece? It kind of looks right, you know? And you know what I mean? It doesn't work so well. It messes. You're laughing because I think you've seen me do that at least once. but it doesn't work out so well. And it doesn't work out so well in life either. It distorts the final picture. And you know what? When you get impatient, all right, you can mess things up. You can mess up your marriage. You can mess up your career. You can mess up your finances. You can mess up your plans. Because you're pushing, 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 trying to make something happen. And God says, I got this. I got this. I know what I'm doing. And what he wants you to do is say, okay, Lord. And that's the way I always say it. It's always with a big sigh and a big deep breath. I'll trust you. I'll wait a little longer. Let me give you another one. Waiting not only helps us develop trust, it also helps us by refining or developing our character. I put the wrong word up there. I should have put develop our character. So if in your handout, you could write in develop. But I'm going to tell you something. Authentic Christ followers want to change. We all want to become the people God wants us to be. And have you ever noticed there are some things in your life probably changed when you came to Christ? There are other things, not so much. And you struggle with, why did I do what I did? Why did I think the way I thought? Why haven't I experienced that total life change that I'm told I'm supposed to have? I'm supposed to have this rich and satisfying life, and I'm not seeing that completely. And you know why? Because it's a process. It's a process. It's a process of development. God takes you from where you are, and he takes you to where he wants you to be, and he does it one step at a time. I often found it interesting, and I've talked about this. Jesus never ran anywhere. He never rode a horse anywhere. He walked everywhere. And I think that's a picture of what our life is supposed to be. We learn how to walk in step with him, and he uses the circumstances of life, everyday life, troubles and difficulties, to help us. The Bible says this: we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. They help us to learn to be patient. Put patient in there, all you guys that love patience, all right? And everybody who doesn't, you put that in there too. You circle that. And patience develops strength of character in us and helps us trust God more each time we use it, until finally our hope and faith are strong and steady. Patience develops strength of character. I have a picture of film up here because I wanted to make this illustration and realized there aren't many of us that remember this. There used to be a time when you took a picture and you had to wait. You had to wait, all right? And if you were cheap like me, you always got the 36 exposure roll of film and stuck it in the camera. And so you started snapping pictures, and guess what you had to wait for? Until you used up the whole roll of film in order to see what you took. Now, sometimes you might have taken some pictures in January and not touched your camera again until, you know, Christmas time, all right? And there was, and then you finished up the roll and you sent it out, and you said, wow, the kids were a lot smaller last year. I had less gray hair last year. But you had to wait because the film was still in the camera. And then here's the other thing that happened. You had to send the film out to have it developed. And towards the end of the film camera era, they had one hour developing, which was magic, right? I could drop it off, go into the store, do my grocery shopping, come back out to the kiosk, and they had my pictures there. And this was magic. Now, what we have today is we have digital pictures. You take the picture and you look at the picture right away. And it's like amazing. But this idea of things having to develop was a big deal. And if you remember this part too, remember you get your pictures back. Don't shake your heads because that means you're old, all right? But you get your pictures back and you have the prints, but in the back of the prints, there was a little pocket and you had the negatives, all right? And the negatives, if you look at it, all the things are reversed. The lights are dark, the darks are light. So you have the negatives there. And here's what's going on in your life, all right? There's a little play on words. But you know what happens as you walk with the Lord? You see the negatives, don't you? You see the negatives in your life. You see the progress that you haven't yet made, all right? Those are the negatives in your life. Sometimes the dark spots are the highlighted things. They're bigger. They're not only bigger in your life, but when you look at other people who are Christians and you say, why haven't they changed yet? Why am I still waiting? Why do they have such an anger problem? Why do they have this? Why do they have that? You know what the problem is? They haven't been through the development process yet. There is a process of developing that God is doing in our lives. And it's a multi-step process. I actually had a dark room in my house where I could develop pictures. And for black and white, there were three steps. I never did color, but there were three steps. And each of them had a purpose to develop the picture that you ultimately would want to see. And so there's this process, and God takes us through it, and it takes time. And so what I want to tell you here is, God made us. He loves us. He made your spouse. He loves your spouse. God made your children. He loves your children. God made your parents. He loves your parents. But God's not finished with them yet. There is a season of waiting to get from where you are to where God wants you to be. And that takes time. Let me give you one more this morning. Waiting refocuses our purpose. Anybody here ever read the book of Job in the Bible? Book of Job in the Bible is a story about somebody who waited. And Job is kind of the poster child for waiting. He suffered over a long period of time as God brought about a greater purpose for his life. But there's a whole lot of waiting. And I'm going to tell you this. If you ever read the book, I'll give you a little spoiler alert. Not only did Job have to wait, you have to wait. Because here's the way the book goes. Chapter 1, this is Job's life. I think maybe still in chapter 1. And here's Job's problem. And then there's like these 36 or 37 chapters of suffering. And he gets advice from all of his friends. And it's all bad advice. All right? And then right at the end of the book, Job figures it out. And you see, you had to suffer and wade through 37 chapters of all of this pain and suffering to finally get to the point. All right? And so that's what sometimes happens. But what happens is at the end of the book, and here it is right now, we find in the New Testament book of James, you have heard about Job's patience. All right, there's a lot of waiting there. And you know that the Lord's purpose for him in the end. You see, it was in the end that he discovered God's purpose for him. And I'm not going to spoil that part as well. But here's the thing. Sometimes you don't understand why you're going through what you're going through. You know what the difference? There's this word that we say, why is this happening to me? All right, you all say it. I'm not even going to ask. You all, when something's bad, it's like, why is this happening to me? And if you just keep saying that over and over again, I always say it sounds like whining, because that's what it is. But the idea is that sometimes we have to go through a period so that we can then see what God's purpose is for us, and it's revealed often at the end of our suffering. You know, the sometimes the waiting part is so that God can get us to sit still. Some of us can't sit still. And I am convinced that sometimes in my life, I've ended up flat on my back or sick or something like that, just so that I would have time to think and think clearly about things. And maybe it was only in that time of sitting and thinking and, of course, praying, God, why am I have to go through this? Can't you make this faster? Can't you fix me now? I'm sorry. I don't usually use that voice, but that's the whining voice. Well, you're saying I do use that voice, okay? But it's during that time that maybe I'm listening enough to hear what God wants to say to me. And maybe he wants to stop me so he can redirect me and show me a better place and a better purpose for my life. So we've talked about the why God makes us wait. I want to go on to here and talk about the how, because I think we have to learn how to wait. You know, some of you are sitting here thinking, like, I do a lot of waiting, and I don't feel like I developed any strength, character, or purpose in my life, all right? And it's not just the fact that you have to wait that does these things, because if just waiting was the key to a better character, everybody who ever commuted on Route 7 or Route 9 to work in the morning, all right, would have a wonderful character because there's a whole lot of waiting that goes on there. But it all has to do with how we wait. We're going to spend a lot of time waiting, so we need to learn. We need to learn productive ways for how to wait. And here's the thing for some people. For some people, when you're waiting, you don't feel like you're living. Didn't I talk about living in the present not too long ago? All right, living in the present. All right, when you're waiting, all right, and all you're doing is thinking about what is not happening, you're not living in the present. And see, God wants you to live. He wants you to enjoy this life that he's given to us. So let me talk a little bit about a productive way to wait. And the first one is this, is to wait for the Lord. Did I have another slide before this, Alex? Yes. There's two kinds of waiting I want to talk about. There's something called goal-oriented waiting and God-oriented waiting. And I'm going to tell you about the difference between this. When we're waiting for God to do something, we're waiting for him, for God to do something, for God to give us something. We've prayed, we want him to answer something. And so there is a thing or a goal associated with our waiting. And God just happens to be the way we get what we want. And this is called goal-oriented waiting. And sometimes for us, God is just the last resort. We tried everything else, that didn't work. Now we're going to turn to God because we want what we want. And so sometimes when you pray, can I tell you there's an answer God can give you? And he has every right to give you. Sometimes God says no. All right? When God says no, you have to say, that must be for my best, because God is good. How often? All the time. So sometimes he says no. Sometimes God says yes right now. I've told you, it's only happened to me, I can think of twice in my life, maybe more, but only twice that I can think of. But sometimes God says yes, but you're going to have to wait for it. All right? And we don't like to wait. And here's the worst part. Some of us don't care what God wants. We want what we want. You see, we think the waiting comes to an end when we get what we want. And sometimes, because we don't see the big picture of the puzzle, we may want something that God doesn't want for us. And so goal-oriented waiting says, I want what I want, and I'm just going to wait for God to give it to me. And if he doesn't give it to me, I'm going to force fit that piece into the puzzle, and I'm going to get what I want to get. That's goal-oriented waiting. You know what God-oriented waiting is? And with goal-oriented waiting, You take shortcuts in business deals. You don't wait for your spouse to catch up. You don't do a lot of things. You just want what you want. But there's a problem with goal-oriented waiting. Our success or failure is determined solely by achieving the goal. Getting what we want, even if God is not involved in giving it to us, seems like success. And so God says, don't wait that way. The Bible says, for since the beginning of the world, no one has ever seen or heard of a God as ours who works for those who wait for him. It's not waiting for a thing or a goal. It's waiting for God himself. You know, in the English language, and I think I said this a couple minutes ago, waiting seems passive, as if I'm sitting around doing nothing. But in the original language of the Bible, it says I'm trusting him. It means I put my eyes on God, and I recognize that during times of waiting, that he and he alone understands my needs. He knows what's best for me. He knows how this puzzle fits into this greater scheme of life. And what God is doing, and God is doing things while we're waiting. When we're praying and asking him for things, God is working. That's what it says here. Has there ever been a God like ours who works for those who wait for him? You know, I believe this is, and there are benefits to this kind of waiting, all right? The Bible says this plan of mine, this is God speaking to you, is not what you would work out. Neither are my thoughts the same as yours. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts higher than yours. You know, this is why Jesus taught us to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God may have something better in mind for you. Your desires might be too weak. Your imagination might be too limited. God might have something bigger and better in mind than you could ever imagine. In fact, that's what this verse of scripture here says. God is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. You see, sometimes what we want is a little thing. And God says, I want a big thing. I think it was C.S. Lewis who said that God's got this amazing vacation for you planned in the islands, and you're set, but your heart is set on playing in a mud puddle in the slums. It's kind of like that comparison there between what God wants for you and what you want for you. And you see, this whole idea of waiting is something that God builds into the plan. There's a difference between God's will and God's timing. And just because we understand what God wants for us doesn't mean it's going to happen immediately. Anybody who watched the movie The Ten Commandments knows, I know, I'm trying to land the plane, Lyle. You're going to have to wait. Oh, that felt so good this morning. All right. But why did the Jews have to wander in the desert for 40 years or live in Egypt for 400 years? Why did Jonah have to wait in the belly of a fish for 3 days? Because they weren't ready for what God had for them. And so sometimes we wait because we aren't ready for what God has prepared for us. So we're supposed to wait on the Lord. We're supposed to wait on the Lord. There's a story in the Old Testament of Abraham and Sarah. And God said, you're going to have a son. And they said that to Abraham when he was 75 years old. When he was 99 years old, there was no kid. In the meantime, Sarah hatched a plan. Well, God's not coming through. I'm going to help him a little bit. And so they had Hagar, the servant girl. Sarah gave her to Abraham to have as a wife, and he had a son named Ishmael with Hagar, but that wasn't part of God's plan. That was Sarah and Abraham creating their own little puzzle piece. And if you know anything about history, the problems between Ishmael's descendants and ultimately, God did give Abraham and Sarah a son. His name was Isaac. The problem with their two sons is epic, and you can read about it in the Bible and in history. But here's the thing. Abraham and Sarah just wanted a child. But God wanted to give them something better than just a child. He wanted to give them a miracle. And only after all the earthly hope was gone, come on, 99 years old and 90 years old, all right? That's too old to have a kid, all right? Can we say that all hope is gone? But God had something better. And he was trying to show Abraham and Sarah, as well as all of us, who would never want to have a kid at 190. Okay, no, all right. But he was just trying to show us that he is the God of infinite possibilities. While you're waiting, God is working. And he'll always respond the right way and at just the right time with the right answer and the right thing for you. And let me give you two more here, and I will land the plane, I promise. So we wait on the Lord. The next one is, we wait in a crowd. This is important. Have you ever been in an airport by yourself trying to get home from somewhere and you're all by yourself and the plane's delayed? That is torture. I hate that, all right? There's another way you wait. You wait with a crowd. You're on a family trip and you've got your whole family with you and you decide to, and this didn't work out so well for us. We were once waiting in Orlando for a plane home, decided to go get something to eat, forgot about the plane, missed our flight. Oh, it was so exciting. But it was more fun to wait in a crowd of people that you knew. It's almost like a party. For us, it was dinner and it was got to be too much fun and we missed the plane. Anyway. But it's always better in a crowd, and there are two crowds I want to talk about here. This first one is the crowd that's in the Bible. The Bible says this, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. If you look at this passage, Hebrews 11 and 12, it's a New Testament book. You read through it, it's kind of like the Faith Hall of Fame in the Bible, and it talks about all these people that trusted God. And how God worked with them, and they did a whole lot of waiting, all right? So the first crowd, can I suggest to you, when you're going through something tough, go look through the Bible, read some stories, see about how other people waited on God. Because what this talks about is, imagine our life today, all these people that waited on God and trusted on God are kind of like in the stands watching us live. And they're cheering us on. That's the whole point of this. They're the great cloud of witnesses. And so what they're saying to us through their stories in the Old Testament and in the New Testament is, hey, guys, we did it. We waited. We got through bad things. We got through health problems. We got through financial problems. We got through family problems. We got through all of that stuff. And we waited on God, and he took care of us. And what they're saying is, we did it. And so can you. And there's another crowd that I want you to wait in. It's found in the book of in another New Testament book that I can't say this morning because I'm lisping. It says this, so encourage each other and give each other strength just as you are doing now. This is a word to the church. So that's why we have church. Because we're all waiting for something, right? We've all waited for something. There are some things in our life that aren't as they should be. And we're waiting for things to change. We're trusting God in spite of the fact that we don't have what it is we think we have right now. You know what happens? We each have a story to tell. And when we share those things with each other in the church, we can give and receive encouragement. Could I get the praise team to come up here this morning as I'm really trying to land the plane without too hard a landing? And there's one more. So you wait. What was the first one? You wait on the Lord. You wait in a crowd. Don't wait by yourself, but surround yourself with others, Christians that have been through this stuff too. And the last one is here. Remember that God waits for you. God waits for you. This is what the Bible says. The Lord is not slow in doing what he promised, the way some people understand slowness. But God is being patient with you. He doesn't want anyone to be lost. He wants all people to change their hearts and lives. Here's the thing I wanted to say. I don't know if this particular message hit home or not for you, but you might be thinking, I don't measure up to any of this stuff. He's patient. He's patient. You know, it's sometimes when we fail, we think, well, I've blown it. I've blown it. God's done with me. He can't use me. I don't have a fit in his family because I've messed up so many times and so repeatedly. What does it say here? God is patient with you. God is patient. That's good news, isn't it, church? God is patient. He's not finished with me yet. Don't ask my kids, all right? But he's not finished with me yet, and he's not finished with you either. He's not finished because he's patient. It says this, God will strengthen you with his own great power so that you won't give up when troubles come, but you will be patient. Now think about this. We're supposed to be patient. We're supposed to wait. We hate waiting. We're not doing real well with the waiting stuff, right? And God says to you, I'm not leaving it up to you. If you'll trust me, I'll help you wait. Doesn't that seem weird to you? Because there's an awful lot of preaching I've heard in my life. You got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to do the other thing. And yet God says, if you want to do this, if you want to be patient, ask me. I'll help you. That's the kind of God we serve. One that wants to help and strengthen us with his own great power, not my power. I don't have to, I'm going to be patient. It's kind of like God says, let me help you. Just ask me. And then there's one more this morning. Last slide. And the Lord will wait for you to come to him so that he can show you his great love. On any given Sunday, I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord. I don't know if you've just come to church and you're kind of enjoying the messages and you've never taken that step across the line that sometimes it's referred to where you say, Jesus, you know, I haven't lived up to what I'm supposed to be. I'm not doing the things I'm supposed to do. I haven't done them in the past. And I know they're offensive to you. Would you forgive me? That's the first step across the line is, Jesus, would you forgive me? I know that you died on a cross for my sins. Lord, would you forgive them? Would you forgive me? And it's a personal step that you take. God's waiting for you to take that step. And the second part of it is, Jesus, would you come into my life? I want you to show me the way to go. I want to follow you. Would you follow me? So you pray a simple prayer that goes like this. Jesus, would you forgive me? Jesus, would you come into my life? It doesn't get any simpler than that. And then you've crossed the line. You're now a child of God. You're now a Christian. The Bible says, old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. You're born again. Your name is written down in the Lamb's book of life in heaven. You're guaranteed heaven ever after when you come to Christ. So if you've never done that before, you pray that prayer and then we're all going to stand to our feet this morning and we're going to sing this as a closing song. Everybody to your feet.